As you see on the screen, we'll talk about this morning, just say no. Something we heard years ago. But it's a little deeper than what that was about, which is important. But we're talking about spiritually. What about just say no? We've seen what's happened in Paris this week. Innocent lives lost through violence, through terrorism, through cowardice. Innocent lives just taken and destroyed in an instant, in a moment. And it's easy for us to become afraid. It's very easy for us to become almost where we want to live our lives different. I mean, how many of us now truly question, you ain't got to raise your hands, but you truly question now where you didn't maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, getting on an airplane. You second think that. I know for me, getting on a ship. Done with that. It's easy to let fear get a hold of our lives. Easy to let worry get a hold of our lives. It's easy for the unknown to get out of our lives. What if? All the scenarios of what ifs. All the possibilities of what if. And if we're not careful, we live our lives in a paralyzed state. We live our lives controlled by what the enemy says and not what God has said. We live our lives controlled by the lies and the fear and the defeat and the negativity. Instead of recognizing that we are God's people and we are God's seed. And that he has made promises to us and that we can take assurance in this. That no matter what comes our way in the earth, we have a promise of eternity with him. And so we don't need to live our lives in fear and leave our lives in discouragement and live our lives with all the what ifs. Because we can't control what comes tomorrow. Nobody can. But I can control this. That I will place my faith in Christ alone. I will place my faith in what he has done for me and what he's yet to do for me. I can place my faith in the one who died for me and the one who rose for me. I can place my faith in all of that. And so we're going to read just one scripture and then we're going to really talk this morning about how we allow the devil and we allow his voice way too much allowance in our lives. We're Christians, church. Did you know that? We belong to Christ. We belong to the King of Kings. You think Donald Trump's son walks around like a pauper? He knows who his daddy is. My dad's the duck. The Trump. The Donald. Whatever. He knows who he belongs to. He walks with Trump money. Trump appearance. He's an ambassador for his father. What does the Bible say about us? We are ambassadors of Christ. You know what an ambassador does? It represents the person it's going out of. Going out, an ambassador is a representative. Are we representing Christ as Christians? You know, we were in a store yesterday, and Melanie had an experience in one of the stores with a customer that, you know, was just being very rude to the people around her. And Melanie was standing there, and she was just really irritated because somebody was in her way. And she starts saying, oh, they're in my way, they're in my way. Better get in my, Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me, Jesus. I'm like, my God. Melanie about had the, you know, the Jesus that went through the temple, kicking over tables. Melanie about had one of them moments with that woman. She about drop kicked her in the floor, but I'm glad she didn't. Incredibly rude. Now, what a testimony that is. Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus. Y'all better get, I mean, saying the name of Jesus at the same time about to go off on somebody? So, are we being good ambassadors? You know what think about this. If Larry, let's use Larry for example because he's just here and he's just fun to pick on. All right, Larry, as a police officer, the Winston-Salem PD says, Mr. Blevins, now Chastity, this is a scary thought, I know. Mr. Blevins, we're going to send you out as our representative of what the Winston-Salem Police Department's all about. So, you got to wear your dress blues or whatever you wear, going to this big old banquet, and Larry, you're going to speak, and you're going on behalf of the Winston-Salem PD as a representative of our whole department. A lot of pressure, right? So hopefully Larry would be on his best behavior, would not be sarcastic, would not crack one-line jokes, but would truly walk in being the best he could be, representing who he belongs to. We belong to Christ. And so as representatives of Christ, and you know, there's a big controversy if you're on either side of it. I mean, just I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I mean, some people really like taking drama and just rolling with it. I want to tell you this. Yeah, I've heard this story. The Starbucks cup don't change my life. Does it change y'all's life? It don't change my life. If they don't want to put Merry Christmas with a red cup or their Satanist, whatever. Just don't drink their coffee or don't go by. But it's not an issue to make national attention. And it makes us look foolish as Christians to argue about something so petty. We are to share the love of Christ and to stand on what's important and to show people, you know what? You know, there's a controversy up in New York, I think, about them taking down the Christmas trees, and there's a big controversy about that. Well, I mean, if you want to get technical, that's not really Christ. I mean, we do a tree in the church, but it's not really Christ. At the same time, that could be deemed as a pagan object. So let's stand on what's important. Let's represent Christ in the way that we're supposed to and really have some understanding about who we belong to. Because there's no use in picking little fights over things that just make us look, you know, like, really? You're talking about a cup. Let's talk about what's really important. Let's talk about lives, the 129, what it was or whatever that was lost in Paris. Let's talk about, you know, all the demonic strongholds that have people's lives controlled. Let's talk about the mother going through a divorce with children. Let's talk about the man that's beating his wife or the drug or alcoholic that can't get free from their addiction. Let's talk about some issues that really matter, and let's represent Christ in a way to say, you know what? You don't have to live bound one more day. You don't have to live struggling one more day. You don't have to live trapped by the lies of what Satan says you are one more day. But you can come out from among them and be set free, because Jesus came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he came to do. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, which tells me this, that as a believer in the Lord, I can walk every day with the peace of God being my guide. No matter who blows up who, Calvary blew up the kingdom of hell forevermore. And that's what matters. And that's who I serve. And that's what I walk in. Know who you are in Christ. Because he reigns on high, but we live so low. Why? Why do we live so low? We have a God who reigns so high. We have a Father, an Abba Father, who is our provider, our protector, our leader, our healer, our deliverer. He is everything, and he is all things. He is the I Am today, tomorrow, and forever. There's nothing we put before God that he says I can't handle. Nothing. But yet we live far beneath the standard of living that God has called us to live. Because the devil tells us this is what you are. This is who you become. We may have become that person, but it doesn't mean that's our destination in the end. It doesn't mean we can't change out of that and let the Holy Spirit lead us out of that dark season and cause us to live again. Life is hard. Things change. Things happen. We raise our families. We raise our kids. We've had every one of us in here, every person in this building right now has had an issue either in your marriage or with your kids. If you've been married or had kids, every one of you has had an issue in some point of your life, either relationship-wise, in some way you've been impacted. Life is hard. And we don't always think life is fair, but I thank God that he made a way that we don't have to stay in the place we are now, but that we can come out of that, because the devil has way too much say-so in our lives, and we give him way too much rope, and we give him way too much credit. And we just, you know, instead of just surrendering and just, you know, bowing down to what it is, let's remember that we can say no. No, devil, I'm not going to believe what you tell me. No, devil, I'm not going to always be a drug addict or an alcoholic. I'm not going to always be walking in fear. I'm not going to always have anxiety and panic attacks. I'm not going to always walk in depression. I'm not going to always walk with no joy. I'm not going to lay down at night and have tormenting dreams anymore. I say no to that. I say no, Satan, because the overcoming power of Jesus is enough to destroy anything you bring my way, because God is on high and devil, you are on low. I am the head, and the Bible talks about it in Deuteronomy where he says, I will make you the head and not the tail. People say, well, he's talking to Israel. He was, but guess what the New Testament says? We are of the seed of who? Abraham. There is no difference in Greek or Jew. So if they were the head, so am I the head, for I serve the same Jehovah Jireh God. And he said, he will set me above and I will not be beneath. He will bless me in the city, in the country, going in and coming out. God will bless me, because I'm going to start saying, no, devil, get out of my life, out of my family, out of my kids, out of my mind. Get out of my situation. You, God, alone are the head of my life and all that I am. But we allow the voices of defeat, the voices of doubt, the voices of others, the voices of our past to continually define who we are. And we find ourselves in this place of, why am I here and why am I staying here? I don't want to stay here no more. I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of the place that I'm in. I'm tired of always struggling instead of actually having victory. Always almost there. It's like my Atlanta Braves back in the 90s. That's my baseball team. 14 straight division titles and one World Series. Are you kidding me? Always almost there and couldn't quite ever really get there. It's just like, you know, it's like you go to Black Friday sale, right? And they got 30 TVs and you're number 31 in line. Are you kidding me? I was 31. I missed it by one. Almost there, but can't quite get there. The Dallas Cowboys, almost there, just can't quite get there. Whatever your situation is, it's like we're almost there, but can't quite get there. We live our lives like that. What's the old saying? A dollar short and a day late? You know? And we have that mentality. Always me. They're doing a layoff at work, it'll be me. You know? They run out of milk at the grocery store. Yeah, milk's gone. I got here, no gallons of milk. I mean, just whatever. It's like we just walk around with this, you know, the cartoon Droopy the dog? Droopy the dog. That's how we act. I'm so happy. I mean, you know, church, God wants us. He desires that we walk in his joy, in his peace, in his strength, in his delivering power. For the Holy Spirit that lives in us is greater than anything that comes against us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things are possible with him. We got to remind ourselves of who we are and just say no. No, devil. I'm not going to wake up one more morning depressed about what's ahead, because I know what's ahead. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is ahead for my life. I know where I'm heading. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. And nothing this world can bring me can derail that destination or that final appearance. It can't change anything. So why do I live so miserably when I have so much victory? Really think about that. Why do we live so miserably when we have so much victory inside of us? We are world champions every day of our lives because the champion defeated Satan forevermore. And because of that grace and blood of Jesus, I am free now and forevermore. Look at John chapter 10, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved if he enters me. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh. This is the devil, the enemy. He comes for one reason: to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his mission. He comes to steal your joy, steal your strength, steal your peace, steal your mind, steal your hope. We can still have hope because I don't care who's running this nation. God's over this nation. That's what matters. And there's hope. There's always hope. But the devil will try to steal that hope. Never going to get no better. Never going to change. It's always going to be what it's always going to be. And if we're not careful, that mindset comes into the most seasoned Christian. And we'll begin to just accept that and say, my life's not changed and this is what it is. And I don't know if God is even hearing me or if God even cares or if God's even answering anything or if God even knows what I'm going through. The most seasoned Christian can question that if that doubt sets in enough because we take on that armor of discouragement or that armor of depression or that armor of doubt if we're not careful. So it doesn't matter, you know, how holy or how seasoned we think we are. The devil attacks all people, all families, all Christians. And none of us are above that attack. But we are strong enough through the Holy Spirit to withstand that attack and to stand. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians, upon the whole armor of God? And when you've done all you can do, stand. Stand. Don't fall. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood. Daniel stood. Joshua stood. Moses stood. David stood. These men stood for the word of God. Peter stood. Paul stood. Stephen stood. These men stood for the word of God. When they were attacked and all they could do was just stand, they did that, declaring who God is and not changing their opinion because of controversy. So when the devil comes against you, when the devil is always tempting you to believe him, and it started way long ago in the garden, when the devil tempted Eve, when the devil came in that place God had made and says, what I have for you is much better. Don't it look good? Yeah, it looks good. You want some? Yeah, I want some. And we understand that bite, what it led to. That taste, what it led to. That act, what it led to. The devil makes things look a lot better. A lot better. Sometimes in what we see, what God seems to make. Because our flesh goes to that. Our flesh is drawn to that. That's why we need the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. You know what this means? That we have to allow the Holy Spirit to become the dominant voice, the dominant force, not the flesh and not the world. Man, the world's running awry. The world's not happy. I mean, we are raising the next generation. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying for what I'm seeing, a lot of the next generation is just absolutely out of their minds. We have become such it's just unbelievable. There was a college girl. See the interview, the college girl on Fox News, the college girl from, I don't know, Missouri, Oklahoma, somewhere out there. College girl they interviewed and says, and they're making some stands, and one thing they're saying is that college should be free and all of her debt should be waived, and they want $15 an hour minimum wage on campus. And they said, well, how are we going to pay for this? Well, the 1%. The guy said, okay. The guy on Fox said, okay, you take the 1% of America, the 1% you say should tax. They already tax 50% of their income, the 1% is. Says, so if you tax 100% of their taxes, 100%, that would only pay for Medicare, just Medicare, for 3 years. Not even touching your college loans, college debt, and your $15 an hour minimum wage. You know what's happening? We're raising a generation that is absolutely so spoiled and so out of the loop and wants everything given to them without working for nothing. And they're believing that. They're believing those lies. Well, you know what? Spiritually, the same thing. Walking with God does require action from us. It requires some work on our part to stay in our word, to stay on our knees, to declare God's word, to meditate day and night, and to do something that we are equipped in order to fight. Because this girl's not in she's in la-la land. And then the reporter says, well, what about your parents? Will they be willing to pay more taxes so all these kids can have free college? You know what she said? Well, my parents are already getting government assistance. They're pretty strapped from check to check. Don't do drugs. That's all I'm saying. I mean, really? Good gosh. These are college kids supposed to be learning higher education that don't understand the simple math of somebody's got to pay for that. And where's it going to come from? So anyway, that just really, I saw that. I'm like, my gosh, I'm glad my daughter's smarter than that. Whew, thank God for that. So here we are, spiritually, living our lives. And when the devil comes to you, when that voice comes to you, we got a decision to make. Do I listen to this little devil, or do I listen to the voice of God on the shoulder? Which one do I listen to? And many times we listen to the devil because we're not letting the voice of God be heard. We're not allowing it to really be heard. You know why? Because we've got our own agenda. And, you know, we got our own mission. We don't want anything, even God, interrupting that mission. So we don't listen to it. We just don't listen to it. Like your check engine light, I say it many times. Your check engine light comes on, it's warning you something's not right in your car. It's not good. When smoke starts coming out of the hood, you don't need to keep driving it. You pull over and park. It's a sign. Gee, my car's smoking. Wonder why? Well, it's a Ford. Oh, that's why. No, it's because something's wrong with it. It's smoking. You pull over. Sometimes the Holy Spirit sends out smoke signals. Okay. Hello, danger. Stranger danger, right? Something not right. So we stop. We listen to God. You know, me and Anna have had several talks through the years, especially since Danny passed away, and we've had some talks. And Anna's just a godly, strong woman and has a lot on her shoulders and carries a lot. And one thing that's always ministered to me, Anna, when we've talked, is how you always go back to tell me, you know, it's really stuck with me, how that you pray to God about what He wants you to do. What does God really want me to do? That sounds like a very, oh, yeah, everybody says that. No, they really don't. And if they do, they don't really mean it. I mean, what if I said this morning, okay, I want y'all to pray to God that if He really wants y'all to give $1,000 an offer this morning. God, I pray sincerely, I'll do what you want me to do. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. If I was to give $1,000 this morning, speak to me. I'm just using that for an example because we can all relate to that, and y'all get really quiet, and I love it. Speak to me. No, we'd be like, Lord, I know it ain't your will because you see my bills. I kind of rhyme. I know you know, Lord, you know, I want to do what you want me to do, but you don't want me to do that, do you? Nah, that's all I thought. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay. No. But you know what? Anna would really sincerely pray that. Lord, have me do what you want me to do. And if you speak that to my life, God, I'll honor that. You know what that is? It really is depending upon God in our prayer life. Because a lot of times we pray for God's will, but we really want to do our own will. We don't really want to do it God's way. We may pray that prayer, but we really don't desire that. Because we know that may interfere with our plans, you know? And we all have goals, and we all have plans, and we have things we like to do. I mean, how many of us would love, I mean, you're either a beach or a mountain person, most of us in here. You can split down the middle probably. We say, oh, I'd love to have me a log cabin up in the mountains by the lake. Or I'd love to have me a condo down at the beach. You know? How many mountain folks we got? How many beach folks we got? I mean, think about that. We're like, Lord, if it's your will, you know. But a lot of times it's not going to be what God has for us. So we have to learn to accept that and really trust our prayer. I have to trust God knows what He's doing. And God's plan is better than our plan because God knows what tomorrow holds. In church, we don't. You know, life is so short. We plan our lives out. A lot of us, you know, the magical age retire is 62 or 64 or 66. Or for some, it's 55 or, you know, whatever. The magical age. But things can happen between now and then. A lot of things can change. And so it's important that we stay in the plan of God and not listen to what the devil tells us. Look at the next verse. Oh, hang on. Sorry. The thief coming out to steal, kill, and destroy. But what does Jesus say? I come I come. And the thief wants to rob you, but I come to give back to you. The thief wants to steal from you and to kill you, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Are we as Christians living an abundant life? Are we really living abundantly? Are we living beyond the means of what we should be? Or are we living by the standard the world says we should be at? Are we living by what the world dictates, what the enemy says? Or are we living by who God says we are? Ambassadors for Christ. A light, a city set up on a hill for us to shine to all the world. Are we living in a way, because, you know, there are Christians, as you know, good men and Christians that will pull you in the gutter with them. I mean, my God, there's people who are talking, wow, you're saved? Well, I don't want to be saved. I mean, if that's how you act, that's how you know, live, you're always depressed, you're always going through storms and trials, and you never have no victory, and you're judging everybody else, and you're talking about all that stuff. We are to be above that. We are to live as Christ lived. And you're saying, I can't do that because I'm not Christ. No, we're not. But Christ lives in us. And there ought to be some kind of demonstration of that outward living through Him. There ought to be something that points the compass to say, you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. I can see that. We're supposed to encourage one another, the Bible says, not pull each other down. The Bible says, encourage one another, exhort one another. We don't tear each other down as Christians. That's what a thief does. You got enough condemnation through the devil. I mean, how much of our past do we dwell on that we can't get healed from? How much guilt do we carry that interferes with everyday life? Because the guilt's so heavy, the shame is such a burden that it just paralyzes us through our daily walk, not realizing Jesus removed that shame and removed that guilt and declared us free. You know, there's nothing like confession, so to speak. You know, as a child, when you did something wrong, you know, I know you don't tell your parents everything, but a lot of times a kid, you go back and say, Mom, Dad, sorry, I did that, yeah, I broke that, or yeah, I stole that, or yeah, I did that, or and I'm sorry. You know what that does? Don't it kind of relieve the guilt? Like, I got it off my chest. That's what Christ did. He relieved the guilt. We don't have to carry that anymore. And we don't have to be trapped by what the devil tells us. Just say no. When he puts fear of your kids in your mind, what if your kid does this? What if your kid, what if? As a parent raising kids, it's one of the things that you worry about the most. The first time I saw a Christian drive off in a car by herself, leaving our driveway, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my little girl in a vehicle by herself. I think about it, I got one more still to do that with. And she's so strong-minded, she'll just drive herself. She won't take, I mean, she'll just drive it herself. I know, Dad, I know. I mean, I can just see her. But I was like, I felt so helpless. Christians pulling out of the road by her little self. That's my little girl, my firstborn, in a vehicle on the big bad highway with the Joe Browns of the world driving. This like Joe. And, you know, meeting trucks and can meet drunk people and high people and people on their phones and people not paying attention and, you know, old people can't see, no offense. I'm just saying, here she is driving on the road. I'm like, my gosh, what a helpless feeling. But you know what I thought? Thank God I've got God. And she's got God. And that God's watching her and with her everywhere she goes. I trust Him with that. I trust my Savior with my children's lives. And when the devil tries to bring that fear, and I'm talking to myself this morning, I've got to do a better job of saying, no, devil, no. I'm not having that. Because as humans, and it depends on how you're made up. I mean, there's some, like the little thing on Lion King, you know, who has no worries. No worries. Going through the jungle, you know, don't care about nothing. Then you got somebody like me who overanalyzes everything. And for a mind like mine, that's hard to shut down. And my wife has told me many times in the years, I would hate to be you. And I say, I hate to be me too. Yes, I agree. I just can't shut it down. Melly can. Melly's, you know, Melly's like the Scarlet O'Hara on Gone with the Wind. I'll worry about that tomorrow. I'll eat tomorrow. I'll fight another day tomorrow. I'm going to bed right now. I'll worry about tomorrow. And I'm not like that. And so I have to remind myself, okay, God, I'm not really letting you be God. Because I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to control everything. I'm trying to, you know, figure out how it's going to happen, how it's going to work. And Mel the type to say, just let life come. And how wonderful it must be to live in that Annie world. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar tomorrow. You know? And I'm waiting up all night to see if it does. Yep, there it is. You know, it's so amazing how we're wired so different. And it drives me crazy. And so I'm speaking to myself this morning that when all these things come against my life, I've got to do a better job of saying, no, devil. I'm tired of you tormenting me. I'm tired of the worry and the fear and the burden and the guilt and the shame and the what ifs and the what if tomorrow. I can't worry about any of that. I'm going to trust God for today and tomorrow and for all days that God, your hand is on me and your cloud leads me by the day or night and your light or light by the night and your cloud by the day, just like the children of Israel, that you are guiding me and leading me. And as long as I stay under your covering, I'm okay. It's when I get out of that covering, I start getting lost and chaotic and things don't work right. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to start saying no to the devil. You are not allowed anymore. You know, we go through different seasons of our lives, right? There's something called the midlife crisis. A lot of us in here are that age or approaching that age. And, you know, we start wanting a new life, something different in our lives. We start thinking about, okay, I'm 40, I'm 50, you know, wherever you're at in that gap. And wow, a lot of years are behind me. Still got some years ahead of me, but maybe, you know, I may not have as many ahead as I have behind me now. I mean, who knows? I mean, you double up 45, you're 90. That's a pretty good, you know, roll. I don't know what the over and under on that is, but I'm just saying, you roll the dice on that, you may have a lot more years behind you. And so you start thinking, wow, what have I accomplished? Where am I at? And what do I do next? What do I do next? I found my next job. Hickory Mall's got a little train. The guy drives to the mall. I would love to do that. That just looks so fun. Got a little walkie. Hey, kids, y'all ready to ride a train? Say go. Go. All right, hang on. Keep your hands in. I mean, I would just love to do that. Stress-free. Just, you know, no money, I know. But, you know, you'd be a popular guy to kids. And the parents. But anyway, we start really wondering. And here's what happens. The enemy starts talking to us, telling us, why don't you do this? Why don't you step over here? And here's something else. Here's a lie. We're not going to like hearing this because we'll hit our flesh bone right here, okay? But here's a lie the devil tells us. You know what? You deserve that. We don't deserve anything but death and hell. The grace of Jesus rescued us. There's nothing owed to us, church, as a human race. Nothing owed to us. It's all by the grace of God. And we start thinking like that. Yeah, I do deserve to do that. Or you know what? I've done this all my life. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm not saying we don't have goals. And I'm not saying that we don't work hard and that God doesn't bless us with things. But I'm saying we start getting the mentality, you know what? I've done this. I deserve. It's a very dangerous mentality to get into. Because you know what? We start getting to ourself. And ourself's not very pretty. Not most of ourselves. It's not very pretty. Because in ourself comes pride. Lust, all the stuff that goes against the Holy Spirit in ourself. And so our prayer should be, Lord, as Anna prays, keep me in your will. God, open the blessings you have for me and close the cursings that are trying to destroy me. God, block out the enemy and let in your angels. Lord, bless me coming in and bless me going out, but keep all plagues nigh my dwelling. That should be our prayer, that the will of God is done in our lives. But we have more power than realize to say no. I truly believe this. People say this all the time. That, look, if you wake up miserable every day and you are just so depressed and discouraged all the time, change that. Just change it. Wake up and say, you know what? This is the day. We've got to actually believe what we read, right? This is the day the Lord hath made. I saw the sun rise and the moon set for one more day. I saw my kids come home safe again one more day. I can walk on both my legs one more day and see with my eyes one more day. I can still drive my car one more day, and I've still got my home one more day. If we can change that mentality and start looking at how blessed we are instead of what we don't have, what do we have? My God. And without God, what would we not have? Where would we be without the hand of the Lord and the grace of Jesus? What? Thank you, brother. Where would we be? Takes a kid to praise the Lord here. That's awesome. I mean, think about that. So, yes, we're blessed. And, yes, we can choose to say, no, devil, you're not going to keep me down no more. You know, me and Mel have talked about this through the years. It's easy as you get older sometimes to kind of lose your joy. And see, I'm still a big kid, and it gets on Melanie's nerves sometimes. Because she's kind of changed the years. She's gotten mature. And I haven't. She grew up, and I haven't. You know, I mean, they were taking pictures of the mall yesterday, upstairs the mall, of people riding some animals. These little remote control animal things kids can ride on. One was taking pictures, so I yelled from the top, Facebook it, I will. You know, Melanie's like, she would have never done that. You know, I just like doing that. A great fun thing to do. You need to do this, okay? You've heard me say, I love doing it. It gets on Melanie's nerves. She hates it. You're going down the road. People's out in the yard. Lay on your horn and wave and smile like you know them. It's hilarious. They will wonder all day who you were. I love it. I'll go by and honk. Hey! It's awesome. It's cheap fun and honest fun. And it's really fun. They're under the hood of a car. I've done that. It's awesome. It's great. I mean, you can have a lot of fun with that. I'm at a point in my life that I have let the devil get me down too long, and I'm tired of being down. I'm ready to rise back up. I'm ready to enjoy life again, be happy again. God wants us happy, church. The Bible says laughter maketh good like medicine. You ever had a good belly laugh? You know what you're doing? Yeah, I know. I won't say what I'm thinking. When you get really a deep laugh like that, you know what's happening? It really, truly, medically and physically, it's releasing endorphins in your body. It's like a drug. It gets you a high. But it's a good high. It's a natural high. It's a high God gave you to be able to enjoy life. It's okay to laugh at yourself and laugh at Kevin. That's okay. It releases endorphins. It's like, wow. We cannot let everything discourage us, because there's some things we just can't control. So we're happy through it all. We're victorious through it. There's nobody here been like Job. None of us had a Job moment. And yet he did not deny God and gave him glory. So just start saying no to the devil. Start saying no. I want to do something this morning in closing, a little bit different, because I know many of us in here, we need to come out of what we're in. The devil's got us in some kind of little stronghold or struggle. And we've not been happy in a long time. We've not had joy like we should have in a long time. And if you want your joy restored today, you want your peace restored, you need the strength to start saying no to what the devil tells you and come out of the place you're in. I want you to walk up here and we'll pray together. I'm going to include myself as I pray as well, because, church, we're supposed to walk in victory in Christ. He's had us down too long. We should not walk beneath when God raised us up. Man, we serve a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. We serve a Master on high. Play that last little song. Keep it kind of low. If you want to be prayed for, walk up here. If you just want, if you need your joy restored, we're going to pray together this morning for that. Because I know all of you aren't happy where you should be in life or you want to be in life. Some of you are on a road you think you can't get off of, but I want to tell you that you can get off of it. Through God, you can get off of it. Some of you may be in a place right now of making a very poor decision or a wrong turn, and you need God to step in and help you avoid that. Some of you just need the strength to know that you can say no, and everything in life that comes isn't because it's supposed to be. I don't buy that. That don't wash. Everything that comes isn't just supposed to be. Things come to try to destroy you. You got to make a decision. Will I let this destroy me, or will I walk away with victory? Will I let the storm drown me, or will I praise God in the storm? Will I let the waves overtake me, or will I just surf on top of the waves and use it for the glory of God? If you want to be prayed for, and we'll do a group prayer this morning, just pray that God will help me and restore what the devil has stolen from you. The devil has robbed many of you, maybe years of peace. He's robbed you of a clear conscience. He's robbed you of having a light heart. Maybe you've been hardened through the years because of your situation. Don't let the devil harden you. God's still God. And His Holy Spirit is still the same Holy Spirit. And it can bring healing. It can bring peace. It can bring joy. He can lift your discouragement today. I believe that, church. He can lift it off of you today, that you can walk free again and not be chained by what the devil tells you. The devil is a liar. The Bible says he is the father of lies, and the truth he cannot tell. If you want to be prayed for, take a stand, take a step of faith. Walk up here. You came to give more abundant life. Our words are very important too, and I believe we need to begin to speak the right words, God's words, into our lives. Our words have power. Conversations have power. Would y'all join hands up here, the ones that are gathered? Y'all just take somebody's hand beside you. Anybody else want to come join this group of people as we pray? Father, we know you are truth. You are life. I pray this morning for a restoration of joy, a restoration of peace, a restoration of strength, that discouragement be lifted off, that fear be lifted off, that loneliness be lifted off, that every attack from the enemy fall down dead right here and right now at this altar. That it has no power. It has no power to produce what it's trying to produce. But we break the strongholds. We break the chains in the name of Jesus. That we will start saying no to the enemy. No, I will not let you rule my life. No, I will not let you rule my home. No, I will not let you rule my kids. No, I will not let you rule my mind. No, you do not have the final say-so. No, you are the author of confusion and death, but God is the author of life. No, I will not be weakened and battled down by what you tell me. I am the ambassador of the risen one. I am the Lamb, the child, the Lamb of God. I am the King's kid that he called me to be. And this day forward, the chains are being broken in the name of Jesus. And let it be done right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise and we give you glory. For we will not walk in darkness. We are children of light. We have been translated into your kingdom and not the kingdom of the devil. We have been set free in the name of Jesus. I will walk in your light from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for joy, for peace, for power, for authority to walk again and speak those words of life back into our situation. God, you're not done with us. Oh, Lord, you're not done with this generation, but a breakthrough in this generation is going to be seen. Where bombs are going off, your glory is going to shine brighter and brighter, showing the way that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for what you have done. And we say no. We say no to the enemy attacks. And I speak deliverance in your name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. And we give you glory, Lord. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your spirit. We thank you, God, for your healing power this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that we're not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching us this day. Making us whole again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that are up here joining hands, why don't you give the person beside you a hug and just love them a minute. Let them know you love them. You're praying for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Take a minute. Thank you. Thank you. God so cares for you this morning. He so feels your hurt. Knows what you need. God loves you beyond measure. God loves you beyond your sin. God loves you beyond your failures. God loves you beyond your weaknesses. God loves you beyond the ghost that haunts you. God loves you beyond the dark places you've been in and maybe you're in right now. God loves you beyond that. For God does not see you as that skeleton in the closet, but God sees you as that glorified vessel he has chosen and ordained for a season such as this. God does not see you as what you were. God sees you as what you are. And that is the redeemed of Christ. That's what he sees you as. He does not see the strongholds that hold you. He sees the healing release he gave you. He doesn't see you as the bound prison you're in. He sees you as the captain letting you out. Do you hear me, church? He looks beyond the depths of all darkness and shines his light and says, yes, that one is mine forevermore. Hallelujah.
That's how God sees you. Trust Him in that. The devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Turn that off. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Margie, come on up if you don't mind again and just play a little something here at the end for us. And thank you for your presence here today, God. Thank you for your breakthrough. Thank you that we just have a God who touches us and that we can experience. Well, we love believing you by faith, but it's so wonderful when you express your love upon us in a physical way that we just feel your hand of mercy and we feel your hand. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Y'all just stay with her, Mom, as she's praying up here. Ushers, y'all come on up and receive our offering. And see, out of the depths of Angela's heart is crying out. Do you understand that? A lot of us feel that way. We just don't show that. Broken. Needing a touch of God in here. So the Spirit of God is just releasing all of that. Covering Angela's heart and her life and just letting it be released. And she bows before His presence saying, yes, God, you're enough. If our hearts were truly like this, will we bow in His presence with full abandonment of self, full abandonment of natural thinking, full abandonment of what people think. Just say, God, I'm crying out to you and I need you. He answers us. Lord, I pray you bless this offering this morning as we give unto your work, unto your kingdom. I pray you bless every hand that sows a seed, Lord, and let them know the importance of what they're doing, that they are advancing your kingdom here in the earth. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.